Good evening, everybody. How are you all tonight? Barely awake, apparently. You were obviously as surprised as probably almost as much as Marilyn was that Dan stopped three quarters of the way back and went in rather than coming all the way up. That was kind of funny. Well, welcome out tonight. We're going to get back into our study in 2 Timothy. And I will tell you that Sunday was probably one of the rare times that I actually got through most of what I had planned to speak on. So review tonight is really going to be a little bit more of review than coming in with anything new as far as teaching tonight. And we'll see how long it goes, and that might depend on how much you all participate. So we'll see how that goes too. But why don't we get started? I'll read the passage, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll dig in. So we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the passage was verses 1 through 7. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, it is our privilege to be gathered together in your presence. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless our time in it. We pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us in it. And Lord, that we might continue to take what you give us here and apply it in our lives. Pray your blessing upon our evening. We pray for those who are not able to be out with us tonight. We do once again think of Mom and her surgery tomorrow, and just pray that you would, as has been requested, give her a restful night. Pray that it would not be weighing too heavily on her mind. The same for Dad, and we pray for a good day tomorrow. We pray for a successful surgery. We pray for no complications, and we pray for the relief that this surgery should bring to her and a pain that she's had in her back. Lord, we pray also for any of those who are not able to be here because they're not feeling well or other things that are preventing them. Lord, please bring them back to us. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start a little differently tonight than we would typically start by at the beginning. But I'm going to start at the end of what we were looking at on Sunday and ask how many went home and considered what it was that we studied on Sunday. How many took? Nice. Now, was that as a part of the review or preparation, John? I got one hand in the back. But this was kind of the charge to Timothy at the end of this section, but the charge to all of us as we studied this, to go home and consider it. And what did we say that considering, the word here for consider, actually means? Exercise our minds to understand. Observe, perceive, The ESV translates this instead of consider. It says to think over. And not just to think about, not just to think through it, but think over. Think over and over. Meditate on these things. These are heavy things that we went through. They were heavy things for Paul to need to share with Timothy. And as he gets done with this section of instruction, he says, Timothy, consider these things. And I would encourage all of us, I won't have anybody else need to raise your hands. John was willing to do that. But in your own minds and in your time after these studies, do take the time to consider these things. So we're going to take some time and exercise our minds collectively tonight. And I hope that it will be productive and will also encourage us to continue to think over these things. And our passage here starts, so in verse 1, the first two words, at least in the New American Standard, are, you therefore. And I'd like to ask you all, what is the therefore? Okay, he's going to get to that, but his therefore is pointed back a little bit, right? So what is he about to, what is he building on? What was his point in saying therefore, Timothy? Don't be ashamed, and I listed it as, don't be ashamed of your spiritual mentor. Don't be ashamed of Paul. That was one of the things. And Paul even said he was not ashamed of himself in that previous passage because he knew that God or that Christ was able to preserve the things that he had entrusted to Paul. That was one of the things I think that the therefore is there for. Any other ideas of why Paul, or what Paul is building on in the section we have tonight? Yeah, pay attention, drive a point. What's that? Okay, we're going to get there. Be discouraged. Yeah, that's what Deanne said. But yes. What else had happened to Paul in that previous section? He had suffered. He was deserted, right? Everyone in Asia has left me. And he's going to get back to that, I mentioned this Sunday, in chapter 4, and he's going to say at his first defense, so as he went before his prosecutors, if you will, it says no one was with him. Everybody deserted Paul. He's in a dungeon. He does mention Onesiphorus as the one faithful brother who has stood by him. But everybody else has deserted him. That was another one. And there's two that I didn't really talk about at the beginning, but pointed out later in the teaching that it's really important to his discipling aspect of this. And I don't know that you'll get this, so I'll give it to you. But he says, retain the standard of sound words. Guard them. The treasure that has been entrusted to you. So we're building on these things. Everyone's deserted me, Paul, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of me. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. and retain the sound words. Retain the treasure that has been entrusted to you. And so he started out talking to Timothy at the beginning of the chapter. In chapter 1, he talked about others and the things that he doesn't want Paul or Timothy to do. And then Paul switches back to Timothy here at the beginning of chapter 2, and he says, "You, therefore, you, Timothy, this part of the message is to you, Timothy, my son." He gets very personal with Timothy here. And I mentioned that it's like you feel like he almost wanted to be there to deliver this message to Timothy in person, that he would have wanted to put his arm around Timothy. "Listen, this is everything that's happening, Timothy, but listen, you need to be different." And how does he need to be different? "Be strong, hold fast." I knew I was going to get to you, Roy. "Be strong, Timothy." And who did I mention on Sunday had been given a similar exhortation to this? Joshua. You remember that? Chapter 1 of Joshua? "Only be strong and very courageous, Joshua." And this, and I mentioned that in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Joshua, that the Lord actually commanded Joshua to be strong. And that in a similar fashion here, this, "You therefore, my son, be strong." This is an imperative. This is, yeah, there's the, "I want to put my arm around Timothy as my son," but there's also the time that you need to kick your son in the pants. And that's what this "be strong" is. Timothy, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be like all of these others who have deserted me and have deserted the gospel. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. Be strong. This is Paul's message to Timothy. What did that word, I'm not going to even try the Greek word because I butchered it twice on Sunday. But what did I say that the word is similar to in English? This word "strong." Dynamo. A super energetic person. Be strong. Be a dynamo. Now, what does that mean? Maybe Timothy wasn't a type A personality. Was he just supposed to get outside of his comfort zone? Grit and bear it? Go for as long as he could, as hard as he could, until he had nothing else to give? Is that what he meant by being strong here? This is a quiet bunch tonight. Yeah. So, no, that's not what he meant, but yes, your answer is correct. Yes, but he was to be strong in what? He was to be strong in God's grace, right? Through Christ Jesus. And what do we say God's grace is? What is God's grace? You were reading my notes, weren't you? They're probably better. Could you bring your notes up here? God's grace, his unmerited favor. And we all, as believers, experience God's grace, his unmerited favor, at the beginning of our salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we are all saved by God's grace through faith. There was nothing that we deserved to be given the opportunity to be saved. It was only by God's grace. It was only by his giving us the faith that we can stand and say that we are his children today. We've all received God's grace in our salvation. But when we look at his grace in relation to our strength and being strong in a situation, we talked about it being God's enablement. Right? God will enable us to do what he's calling us to do. Is this enablement the same for everyone? I can't hear you when you mumble. I think I heard yes, and I think I heard no. That's a great question, Roy. And I'm going to say the answer is both yes and no. And I'll give you why. The yes part of it is God's grace is freely available and given to everyone who is a believer. It is the same source of grace, and it is according to the riches of his grace. If we go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 8, it talks about he gives out of the riches of his grace. So what do I mean when I say it can also be different? There were two passages that we looked at on Sunday when talking about his grace. Somebody other than Marilyn is furiously looking through her notes right now. Does anybody remember what those two passages were? That was his strength. Yep. But not the passages on his grace. Yeah, you got it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 through 6. Now, this was the passage relating to spiritual gifts and saying there are different gifts, there are different services, there are different activities, but it is the same God that empowers them all. So it is the same God. His grace is the same. He empowers all of those things, but they are different in each believer. There are different gifts. There are different services. There are different activities. And they're all enabled within each individual differently. But there was another passage. There was a second one. 8 through 9. Yep. Very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. If you remember, this passage is where Paul has a thorn in the flesh. And he says that he implored God three times to take away this thorn in his flesh. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that it's my glory that comes out of your weakness. God's grace was sufficient for Paul in his specific circumstance. And it's sufficient for all of us in our specific circumstance. But it's different to each one because all of our circumstance, all of our gifting, all of our service, all of our activities are different. And so it's not a different grace. It's not a different availability of grace. But the application of it in each of our individual lives is different. And so that's why I would say God's grace to us, to enabling us to be this strong as he's calling Timothy to be, looks different to each one of us. I know a guy who is absolutely the most type A personality guy you would ever meet. He runs at 100 miles an hour, 500 miles an hour, every moment of every day from 5 o'clock in the morning till midnight. He would have been the dynamo that would have been the example here if you said, okay, that it means you need to be able to just do everything all the time. This guy's picture would be next to that in the dictionary. But that's not everybody. And it may not have been Timothy. But what Paul is challenging Timothy to do is be strong in his circumstance and in what he was called to do. He was to be an elder at the church of Ephesus, a church that was struggling. And it needed strong men in leadership who were going to fight for that church. And they were to be different than those who he had just talked about, who had deserted him. No, Timothy, that's not to be you. You be strong. And so then he goes into moving from this exhortation to be strong into what I called the section was Discipleship 101. I'm sorry? But let me ask you this. What things, actually, before I get to that one, what is God's pattern for discipleship? What's the pattern, though? Mentor to disciple. Disciple becomes mentor. Mentor then selects a disciple, and the process starts over. You look at the back of your shampoo bottle, rinse, lather, lather, rinse, repeat, right? Mentor, disciple, mentor, disciple, and so on, and so on, and so on. What things does this pattern require of its participants to be successful? Faithfulness. I have that actually listed last, so you're starting at the bottom of the list, but go, that's good. They're not in any specific order in my list, so. What else does this pattern require? Mentors and disciples. We'll get there. I hear you. Hold that thought. Qualified mentors. Right? If this is going to be a successful process, the ones doing the mentoring have to be qualified. Timothy had to be Paul's understudy. He had to see Paul, as it says, teach these things to other faithful witnesses or in the presence of other witnesses. Timothy witnessed that. He was there. He was the one who was doing Paul's errands, but also hearing him teach and seeing how it was done. He needed a qualified member, a mentor. He also needed a willing mentor. Just because you're qualified, there are many qualified people who keep the qualifications to themselves. And that may help their personal spiritual life, but it wouldn't have helped Timothy. Qualified mentors need to be willing mentors, ones who in verse 2 are looking for those other faithful ones. And I think here it's, and I mentioned this Sunday, it specifically mentions it as men because I believe that the thought from Paul to Timothy is to go out and look for specifically pastor teachers and continue to look for raising up those faithful men in this case. But from a Titus 2 perspective, this is discipleship. Ladies, qualified mentors from ladies, and willing mentors from ladies. To the other half of this equation, we need qualified disciples, believers, ones who know Christ, who have the foundation for the discipleship, who are faithful. And that gets into the second piece. We had willing or qualified mentors and willing mentors. We need qualified disciples and willing disciples. They need to have the desire to grow in their understanding of the word. They need to be willing to be taught. Willing to have that teaching direct changes in their lives. Willing to shadow a mentor. See what it is to take on ministry, to take on evangelism, to take on teaching, to take on responsibility. This process then needs disciples who are willing to become mentors. There's one thing, I'm sure Timothy had a great relationship with Paul and thoroughly enjoyed his discipleship period. But Paul's direction here is, Timothy, that period's over. You now need to be the mentor. Disciples need to be able to step out of the mentorship program and into the mentor role for the next set of disciples who need to be exhorted, who need to be encouraged, who need to be shown. Johnson, what was the acronym? FAT. Micah Tuttle. We're going to be very disappointed if he comes back this year and doesn't see fat people here in the pews. Or he's going to be very disappointed, I guess I should say. Faithful, available, teachable disciples who then become mentors of the next faithful, available, teachable. And I will tell you that the mentor in this process also needs to have a teachable spirit. The mentor can learn things in this process too and needs to have that attitude. So we moved on from this concept of Timothy, everything that you've seen from me, continue to be faithful in it. Continue to guard what's been trusted to you. And now you need to entrust it. You need to deposit it you need to see that it's given to other faithful men. And then they need to be encouraged this same way to give it to others. That's discipleship 101. But this process isn't going to be without struggles and without challenges. And neither was the rest of Timothy's calling, right? So he closes here with three examples of what this is going to take. What were the three examples? I should have started with that one. Start with the easy ones, right? Soldier, athlete, and I'll add hardworking farmer. What was the soldier to be? I gave you the adjective of the farmer as a hardworking farmer. What was the soldier to be? He was to be a good soldier, right? A good soldier. The good soldier, as John said, endures hardship. Suffer with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. What does suffering mean here? What is this suffering? I'm not going to give the answer right away to that. That's a question. What is this suffering? What's that? Don't be entangled in the affairs of life. I'll give you a quote. I was listening to Alistair Begg on this passage, and he said, "It is impossible to study this letter and not see the direct link between commitment to service and the associated suffering in that service." What is the suffering? It's pretty obvious what Paul was going through here, right? He's in a dungeon, deserted. Nobody's coming to his defense. He believes he's going to be executed, probably very shortly. Physical suffering is what Paul is going through. Willing to please the master no matter what the cost is what Johnson said. Who remembers the three questions I closed with on Sunday? What are you willing to give up on list one to do more of what's on list two? Willing to give up our time? Are we willing to give up other opportunities? Are we willing to give up finances, sleep, recreation, health, relationships, family? What is it that we're not willing to give up? What did you give up to be here tonight? What did you gain? Hey, there are nights, Roy, that's important. Roy's answer was to fall asleep in the chair. What did you gain by being here? An opportunity to participate in the fellowship of prayer with the other believers of this local body. what would we be willing to give up to do that? Let me ask you a question that's challenging, and I can honestly say that there are times where I've had the first reaction rather than the second, even though I know the second is what should be. Is it more discouraging to think of what needs to be given up or encouraging to have the opportunity to serve? Is it more discouraging to think about what we need to give up than it is encouraging to think about the opportunity we have to serve? That was a tough one. Still is a tough one for me. And I know it is far better to have the opportunity to serve. I'll give you another quote. And this one may not be word for word, but the idea is, and this was from Alistair as well, give up your small ambitions at whatever they are in this life for the ambition that God has for you to do for Him in this life. Give up your small ambitions, whatever they are in this life, for the ambitions that God has for you to do for Him in this life. What does it mean to suffer as a good soldier? The good soldier doesn't get entangled in everyday affairs. There is a ton going on in every one of our lives. So easily entangles. There are a ton of things that will grab and pull and try to get your time and your resources and your attention in this world. Is it our aim as a good soldier to please the one who enlisted us? The one who saved us. The athlete competes according to the rules so he doesn't disqualify himself. He trains. He's fit. And then he is sure not to disqualify himself while he runs the race. Are we training? Are we aware of the things in our life that might disqualify us? Are we certain to avoid them? And the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. This hardworking, you remember what the definition of that two-word phrase was, hardworking. Labor to exhaustion, weariness. Even though we are enabled by God's grace to accomplish our calling, it doesn't mean that it's just going to happen at our leisure. We need to be hardworking. These are the three things Paul gave as examples to Timothy. Timothy, you need to be strong. You need to now participate in discipleship the way you were discipled. And you need to do it with a singular focus on your accomplished, on what you are to accomplish, like the soldier. You are to do it with disciplined preparation and participation, like the athlete. And you are to do it like the hardworking farmer. Do it to the point of weariness. And this is what it's going to cost. You are going to suffer. It doesn't necessarily mean you will end up in a dungeon, but there will be things that you will be required to give up in order to serve the way we're called to serve. What are we willing to give up on list one in order to do more of what's on list two? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, these are challenging things. We are humbled every time we dig into your word and see the price with which we were purchased and redeemed. And Lord, how far we fall short so often of being the good soldier, the athlete, and the hardworking farmer that you desire us to be. Lord, we need to rely on your enablement. We need to not seek to do all things in our strength, but we seek to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to go away and consider these things. And we pray your blessing upon each as we travel home and bring us back safely to gather again on the Lord's day. And it's in your Son's most precious name that we pray. Amen.